Welcome to Torah Teimach Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim Perek Yedaled, Chapter 14. We have just learned of the birth of Shimshon and the commandment that he is to be a Nazir from his conception. He knows what his role is to save the Jewish nation, and he knows it's going to be in a strange way, not straightforward. And so he disguises his actions. He has already separated himself from anything material and physical. Everything is L'shem Shemaim, for the sake of heaven. He is going to act in a way that's hard for us to understand, but necessary for the role he will play. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayera Shimshon Timnasa, and Shimshon goes down to Timnah. Vayar Isham b'Timnasa mipnos Plishtim, and there he sees a woman from the daughters of the Plishtim. We know Timnah. The story of Yehuda and Tamar happened in Timnah, but there it says that Yehuda goes up to Timnah, which leads to a big discussion. According to Rabbi Elazar, from the fact that it says here he went down, it shows us that it was on the way down for Shimshon. Others say, no, there were two Timnas, one up, one down. Or there's two pathways into Timnah, one up, one down. What is the fascination of Chazal about this place and the way that you access it? It's part of a much bigger discussion, one that we're not really going to be able to resolve. Everyone is trying to figure out, was Shimshon being directly guided by Hashem and therefore did all these strange things, or did he do them of his own volition? And if he was guided by Hashem, then when did things start to go wrong? Because they will. Later on, we'll see that he was first punished in Aza, which Rabbi Yehuda says, tells us that the beginning of his downfall was there, which would seem to apply that this story that we're about to embark on was not a down, but all part of the plan of Hashem. So he's going to tell his parents now about this woman that he saw. Vaya'al pasuk beis, vaya'al vayaged la'aviv v'li'imo. He comes and he tells his parents, Vayomer, isha ra'isi b'timnasa mibnos plishtim. I saw this woman in Timna mibnos plishtim. Note, I haven't spoken to her, there's no relationship here, it doesn't seem like there's a romance. I just saw this woman, v'ata, and now, k'hu osa li l'isha. Take her for me from a wife. As a wife. From the word kechu, it seems to tell us that this was a proper marriage with a proper kiddushin, meaning that she would have had to convert it to Judaism. It can't be that he was marrying a non-Jew. He's not doing something shameful that he would have to hide. He's asking his parents to be involved. He's looking for a way to start up with the Plishtim, but in a way that would be natural, meaning something that would not reflect on the whole Jewish people. Pasuk Gimel. His parents are horrified, and they react. I mean, we could only imagine ourselves in such a situation. Vayomer lo avi v'imo, ha'en bivnos achecha uvachol ami isha? Do you not have any relatives? Do you not have any friends? Is there no other woman in our entire nation? You're going to take a wife from the Plishtim ha'arelim, the uncircumcised Plishtim? It seems like this uncircumcised piece is a big problem for them. The bris mila removes the arla, the arel basar, the blocking flesh, the flesh that blocks a connection to Hashem. The bris, a bris mila, conveys the supremacy of the voice of Hashem over the physical world. And you, Shimshon, are a person who's been protected since the womb from anything physical. You're going to go and live amongst the lowest people who not even have a bris mila? And he answers, Vayomer Shimshon el Aviv, Osa kachli, take her for me, kihi yashra be'enai, because it is straight in my eyes. He doesn't say because she's beautiful, not matzachin be'enai, not because she has found favor in my eyes, but my eyes, which see straight, so straight, because there's nothing at all blocking them from the truth. They see that this is the path that Hashem wants me to take, and this is the way I'm supposed to be doing it. It says, we say in Shema, Lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem. Do not stray after your hearts and your eyes. But he's saying, my heart, my eyes are pure. I can follow my eyes. But it seems to be that there was something a little bit wrong here, because Tanu Rabbanan, Shimshon, he rebelled with his eyes, it says. Here, and quotes our pasuk, ki hi yashra be'enai, and therefore, spoiler alert here, they are going to tear out his eyes. They are going to blind him ultimately. And we want to understand, what is the rebellion that he did with his eyes here? The Michtav Meliyahu says, the problem here was gaiva, not lust, but gaiva, a little bit too much feeling like I can do this on my own, haughtiness. we have to understand that we're talking about a great person. When we say the problem was, we're talking about tiny, tiny nuances. But it says, the Medrash Tanchuma says that Shimshon is punished with what he was haughty with. How very medaktek Hashem is. How he takes account of every single little thing. We're going to see really how humble Shimshon is. And yet this Yashra Be'enai, it is straight in my eyes, is something a tiny little bit missing. Or the Radak says differently, and he picks up another nuance. And again, we're talking about nuances. It starts off right, the way that Hashem wants to do it. But at the end of the day, there was a little bit in his eyes. If there's something personal that came into this, and when we are doing something, when a person is doing something, there is a danger here because this action Hashem wanted, but he could only do it if his intentions are 1,000% pure. And if his intentions was a little bit not pure, and there was a little bit of his eyes in here, then Shimshon, who would have been allowed to marry these women, if it was totally the Shem Shemaim for the sake of heaven, is now going to be judged very harshly for this, for, we'll see, the beginnings of this action. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Va'avi v'imo lo yad'u ki mi Hashem hi. His parents didn't know that this was from Hashem. Ki to'anahu mevakesh miplishtim. Because he is looking for a provocation from the plishtim. Again, it's unclear in the pasuk of who the subject of the sentence is. A provocation he is looking for. Is Shimshon looking for the provocation, or is Hashem looking for the provocation? We don't know. Uva es hahi plishtim moshlim b'Yisrael. But at this time, the plishtim are in control. They are the rulers here. And he is going to look for a provocation, again, either on his own or with direct command from Hashem, which we don't see, to work in this undercover fashion, says the Malbim, so that they should not retaliate against innocent Jews. Why didn't he tell his parents? He was scared that if he would tell his parents, it would somehow get out to someone else, and then his whole plan wouldn't work. Even his parents who lived with him and his mother who had the promise that he would fight the plishtim don't understand his actions. It's hard for us to totally understand them as well. We get the details of a seemingly unimportant story. He's on his way to Timnah with his parents and they're walking past the vineyard. The Yerushalmi says that they took him that way to show him how the vineyards of the plishtim, they used to mix their grapes and wheat together and it wouldn't work. So they were trying to tell him mixing a Jew and a plishti woman won't work. But he goes a different way. He doesn't want to pass a vineyard because he's not allowed to drink wine and he doesn't want to be tempted. It seems a little bit disingenuous. You're going to put yourself in a situation now where you're going to be faced with temptation the entire time and meanwhile you're avoiding a vineyard. It could only make sense when we see that what he believed is that he was doing Hashem's plan by going to marry this woman. On the way, he meets a lion. And he's alone. But Titzlach alav Ruach Hashem, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, and the Ruach Hashem comes on him. When it says the word Vatitzlach, it means he's going, the Ruach Hashem comes on him and he has Hatzlacha, he has success. Vayishasehu kishasa hagdi. He tears it apart like someone would tear apart a little goat. Uma ein biyado. He has nothing in his hand. Velohi gid laviv limo es asher asa. And here's where we see his humility. He doesn't tell his parents what he did. This miracle that happens to him surely reassures him that he's on the path to do the right thing, and it would have brought his parents peace of mind. But again, had he told them, they might have told others to justify his strange actions, and then it would have ruined his and Hashem's plan. But we'll see that he is confused by the story. There's a similarity in the story, and the story that's going to happen later to David HaMelech, who as a shepherd also encounters a lion and a bear, and he kills them. And from here, David understands that Hashem is preparing him for a great battle, and this gives him the strength to go and fight Goliath. So Shimshon understands this is an open miracle, and there's a message in here for me. Pasuk Zayin, Vayered, and he goes down, Vayedaber Leisha, and he speaks either to the woman or about the woman to others, Vatishar Be'enei Shimshon, and she finds favor in his eyes, meaning he realizes that this is a good match, and by speaking to her, he makes sure that she is willing to convert, to become a Gioras, but he's going to give her time to prepare and time to make sure that she really does want to marry a Jew and convert. So he's going to come back after a year. Pasukha, Vayashav miyamim lakachta. And he comes back after a year to take her. Vayasa lerois es mapeles ha'aryeh. But he stops off to see the carcass of this lion. Vihine adas dvorm begvias ha'arye udvash. And he is on his way down and he sees this lion. He wants to thank Hashem for the nace, and we know that you're supposed to go back to a place where a miracle happens to thank Hashem for it. And according to the Das Sofer, he's trying to figure out, what was this all about? He comes, like we said, his mother was from Yehuda, his father was from Dan. Both of these Shvatim are compared at different times to a lion, and now the lion is dead. That means, perhaps, that my nation isn't doing well. What does it mean that I was approached by a lion and that I killed a lion? Is it a good sign or a bad sign? When he gets there, he finds honey. And this tells him that it's sweet, it's good, it's delicious, go ahead. Vayardehu el kapav, and he puts some on his hand, Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayelach halaych v'achal, and as he's going, he's eating from the honey. Vayelach halaviv elimayin, he comes to his parents, vayitain lahem, and he gives them the honey. Vayochelu, and they ate, he must have looked very strange, but they take the honey and they eat it. Velohi gid lahem, but he doesn't tell them, ki megvias ha'aryeh brada hadvash. He's very excited by this, and he's sharing the honey with his parents, but he doesn't tell them that the dvash, that the honey came from the lion. And he's going to marry this woman, but before he does, in Pasuk Yod, Vayasham Shimshon Mishte, Kikeni Asu HaBachurim, it seems like the boys, before they got married, would make for themselves some sort of bachelor party. And he didn't do it on his own. And Pasuk Yod Aleph, Vayichir Osam Oso, Vayikhu Shlosha Mereim Vayihu Ito. They gave 30 Plishti boys, friends, to be together with Shimshon while he's having this party. And at this party, Shimshon gives them a challenge, and he says, I'm going to give you a riddle. And if you could give me, by the end of my Sheva Brachas, this is, by the way, one of the sources for Sheva Brachas, if you could tell me by the end of the 7 days after I get married, the 7 days of party, if you can tell me the answer to my riddle, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothes. But if you can't give me the answer to the riddle, then you have to give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothing. And they agree to this challenge. Pasuk Yudalet, verse 14, he's going to give them a riddle that will be impossible for them to figure out. Vayomer lahem, meha ochel yatsa ma'achal, from the one who eats comes out food, ume az yatsa matok, and from strength comes sweet. They're trying for 3 days to figure this out. From the one who eats comes food. What is he talking about? Pasuk Teswa, Vayihi Bayom HaShvi, and it was on the seventh day. Not the seventh day of Sheva Brachas, says Rashi, but the seventh day, which is Shabbos. So he must have gotten married on a Wednesday. Vayomu L'Esha Shimshon, they tell this new wife of Shimshon, Patias Ishech, encourage your husband, go and entice him, and vayaged lanu es hachida, and get him to tell us the answer of this riddle. If not, pen nisrof otach v'es beis avich ba'esh. If you don't get the answer of this riddle for us, we will burn you and your father's house in fire. Hali yarshenu karasam lanu alay? Did you call him to us to make us poor, to take our stuff? We will burn you, we will kill you. What was this great anger that they showed? What would have been the big deal to give him 30 suits? And really what it was a change in the yachas, in the relationship they had until now. The Plishtim were on the top and the Jews were on the bottom. They couldn't handle having a Jew get the upper hand. Pasuk Tesayin, she starts on her campaign and she cries and she says, Vatomer rak sineisani v'loy ahavtani. You hate me, you don't love me. You gave a riddle, livnei ami, to my people and you didn't tell me. And by Yomar Lan, he says to her in Pasuk Tesayin, verse 16, Hinei la'avivali imila higadati v'lachagid. I haven't told anybody this, not even my own parents. I'm going to tell it to you. Pasuk Yitzayin, v'tefk alav shivas yamim asher hayalahem hamishta. She cries for all 7 days, v'yi b'yom hashvi'i. And on the seventh day, she makes him so crazy that he finally tells her the answer. And what does she do with it? V'tageit hachida livnei ama. And she goes and she tells the Plishtim, she betrays him, and she tells the other Plishtim the answer to this riddle. Vayomu lo anshei ha'ir b'yom hashvi'i, pasuk yitches, verse 18. And the people of the city on the seventh day come and tell him, b'terem yavo ha'charsa, until the sun goes down, before the sun goes down, ma masok midvash, What's sweeter than honey? Uma azme ari. And what is stronger than a lion? Vayomer lahem. And he says to them, Lule charashtem be'eglasi loy mitzasam chidasi. If you hadn't plowed with my calf, you would never have found the answer to the riddle. Vatitzlach alav ruach Hashem, and the ruach of Hashem comes down on him, again that same word, vatitzlach, with hatzlacha, with success. Vayered Ashkelon, he goes down to Ashkelon. Vayach mehem shloshim ish, and he hits, he kills 30 people. Vayikach es chalitzoysam, and he takes their suits. Vayitein hachalifais l'magide hachida, here you are, thank you very much, here's 30 suits. Vayichar apa, he gets very angry. Vaya'al beis aviyu, and he goes back to his father's house. He only gives the clothing and not sheets, because he says, you got it unfairly, I don't have to give you everything that I promised you. Pasuk chav, she betrays him once again. Verse 20, Vatihi esha shimshon lemre'ehu asher re'alei. One of these 30 men who are at the party, who he gives the suits to, the wife of Shimshon, goes to live with him. She goes back to her own ways, her bad ways. His response, Shimshon's response, was a little crazy, a little out of control. They will now view him as a bit of a crazy person. And that's exactly the point. It is very clear that this is a personal vendetta. Nothing he will do will be able to be blamed on the Jews, no matter how much he escalates this battle. There will also be fear, fear of Shimshon, and by extension, of the Jewish people, which is exactly what he was trying to accomplish. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rochel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Nishot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.